This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are the drive. And we are getting you home on a Friday. And we are continuously gathering clues on who in the blue hell is going to play quarterback for the Denver Broncos this year. And we have these twists and turns in the road.
Yeah.
I mean, the J.J. McCarthy twist from where we ended the season to where we've been at like this past week is remarkable. It's one of the great rises along with like Baker Mayfield we've seen in recent memory. And I want to go back to J.J. in a couple minutes and defend him because I feel like
you and this gang
of people that
is, all my thugs
are like really doing everything you can to tear down J.J. McCarthy. But while that's happening, it does feel like kind of slowly but surely Michael Penix Jr. is working his way back into the first round conversation. We found out this morning the Denver Broncos are having him to Denver at some point next week for an individual meeting. He killed his pro day.
He did. He did a great job.
And you can roll your eyes at it, and he's always in shirt and a t-shirt, and you know he's not going to do this stuff on game day. But if you given the choice between your quarterback being a good athlete and not, you'd probably rather have him be a good athlete.
Why are we doing this then? Every single person that's in the NFL had to go through this whole same exact thing that we're doing and we're talking about right now with the 40, with the jumps. Okay, J.J. McCarthy had to do it, and they talked to how good his pro days were and his combine was. Okay, Bo Nix was another one. So it's like, if you're going to roll your eyes, make sure you're rolling your eyes to every single quarterback and every single player that's doing this.
For sure, for sure. And I was listening to Mike and Mark this morning, as I do nearly every single day, and you know, Mark is just have him kind of fun with it, and he does. He's consistent. He makes fun of all the pro days, but he's like, hey, next time you need your quarterback to jump 37 inches in the air, like, let me know. But I will say, I mean, when you do have a 36 and a half inch vertical and a broad jump of 10 and a half feet, and both of those would have been number one for any quarterback at the combine, in addition to running a sub 4.640. I did not see that coming from Michael Penix Jr. I just didn't.
Especially someone who has had two ACL injuries, two shoulder injuries, okay, and still went out there and put up the number one numbers if he was doing it in the combine.
Yeah. So, okay, we're just gathering more information. Like, it's not the whole puzzle. It's just a piece of it, and you tie it together with what you saw on film. And what's so funny?
I'm just waiting for you because I know you have someone, J.J. McCarthy, and you're ready for it. You're locked and loaded.
No. I don't have to tell you. I sat next to you during the football season. Yeah. I watched a ton of Michael Penix Jr. Yeah. And on game days, outside of the national championship, I almost always walked away being like, that is an impressive young man.
And that's why I don't understand with you, Zach, because you're the one, to be honest with you, talk me more into Michael Penix Jr. Because you watch so much more of Michael Penix Jr. And when he's a Denver Bronco, we're going to have to say MPJ part two.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure that one out.
I know, like, what's going to happen? But you kept on pushing the case of Michael Penix Jr. And so it made me to, you know, get interested in really wanting to watch what this young man has to offer. And it's exactly what Sean wants in this quarterback, this perfect quarterback that he's talking about, is Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, and he really is. He's a processor. He sees the field. He can throw guys open. He is not an athlete-based quarterback. He is a pocket-based quarterback, which is what Sean's looking for. Timing, rhythm, tempo. None of that stuff bothered me with Michael Penix Jr. And it came down to, I remember it was like the Tuesday after the national championship game, and it was me, you, and Will Peterson in here. And you said you were still into Michael Penix Jr. Will said I wouldn't draft him because of how poorly he played in the game. And I said, that's not a good, and me and him disagreed big, despite me saying I wouldn't draft him either, but for a different reason. And it's just the medicals scare me. I'm sorry two things can be true at the same time. He impressed the hell out of me on game days, but multiple ACLs, multiple shoulders, and we hear from, Mike Kliss, we talked to him, he said, this guy's only been sacked 32 times in his career, and how good of a thing that is. And then I turn the coin over and look at the other side of it and say, and he still got banged up that much, and he only was sacked 32 times in his entire career at Indiana and Washington. How is he going to hold up in the AFC West?
For
and
sure.
I have those questions.
But this is what you have to really understand, Zach. I wish I could bring a group of NFL defensive linemen and linebackers, let you go and throw a football with your everything showing, your rib cage, your knees and everything. Let them land on you one time and then tell me how it feels. It doesn't matter who you are, how built you are, okay? Every human has the same body parts, the same tendons, the same ligaments. And if it turns one certain way, you're popping it. J.J. McCarthy, okay, has the same ACLs as Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. may have better ACLs because they've been worked on and operated on. All right, usually when you go off of a surgery, you look yourself better.
So double ACLs, that's a good thing out of college.
I'm not saying double ACLs.
Well, let's move them right up then.
But when you go to an MRI machine, just because your ACL is intact doesn't mean that there's shredding going on.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't mean that there's a lot of wear and tear, where is if they just repaired it with some part of your bone to go on the side of your knee, it's going to look a lot better than that old ACL.
No, and this is why very slowly I'm starting to thaw out at the idea of
Zach.
Michael Penix Jr.
So
at
slow?
Number 12.
Why?
Because we just talked about the medicals, but he did pass all the combine testing. And you say, like, well, what would you realize? And we talked about it at the time. Some people's knees look different. They look degenerative. They look like 40-year-old knees, and you're 25. And that's not the case with Michael Penix Jr. And Kliss even put it out there with us earlier in the show, like the Broncos may put him through something else physically with the medical testing next week when he gets to Denver. And I'd be very curious about that. But a part of it is just like, man, if first of all, let's go back to the base of the pyramid of which everything else is based upon. Sean's got to love Michael Penix Jr. But when you add it up, if you took away the injury history, he does profile like a guy like Sean would love.
Yeah.
And you think about the investment that would have to be made to move up to grab my guy, J.J. McCarthy, at number 4. It's incredible. And now, as recent as the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's like you can move up to 4 and you still may not get the guy. And that's why it's becoming a little bit like, man, is this just too much of an ask to move up at a time where the Broncos have got to get it right? Because if they move up and they don't, it's going to go from already bad to worse. And I've been, Phil, going back and forth on it in my own head, just being real, not trying to be a fence rider, just putting everything on the scale of like, what is best here for this franchise.
And it's funny because we're sitting here arguing about something that may not even be real, because Sean's not a dumb coach. Sean's not a dumb guy. Sean seems like he likes playing games. And he also understands what he needs to do to get who he wants. Everybody is on the fence, and everybody loves J.J. McCarthy.
Not everyone.
Whoa, because
our last guest was
for sure, but we're looking at, and this is where Mike Kliss gave a little nugget saying, hey, everybody with these drafts likes J.J. McCarthy. With the drafts, right? When them putting all these drafts together and saying that J.J. McCarthy...
Like mock drafts.
Mock drafts.
Yeah.
He's saying that because when you go and probably ask some of these scouts, they may not be as high on J.J. McCarthy as people are thinking. Now, J.J. McCarthy is an intriguing player. But when you in the grand scheme of things, and you take small things out, how is he so much better than someone like Michael Penix Jr., who has been doing it for a little bit longer, has more passes than him, you know, has more of an opportunity.
A lot more.
You know, and we're going off of a guy who had a powerhouse running back, powerhouse offensive line, okay, a great head coach. And a lot of times, he didn't have to finish a fourth quarter, right? He didn't have to finish
seven times this past year.
That's a big deal. And he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
21 years old. Mm-hmm. We may have to sit back and let him brew and develop a little bit more before he becomes something great.
Yeah. See, going back to what you said maybe 60 seconds ago, you're saying like the mock drafts are saying J.J. McCarthy's a top four quarterback, but scouts don't really think so. I respectfully disagree to where I think that the scouts started to get into the draft process, see stuff with J.J., and then the mocksters are kind of reflecting what they're hearing from the scouts.
Yeah.
Unscientific speculation. I'm just speculating. But I remember 5-6 weeks ago, it was like, oh, no, I've talked to an NFC team. They have J.J. McCarthy as a top three. And this was when, like, McCarthy was nowhere. Some drafts had him, mock drafts had him in the second round. I just think that here's where I'm at with J.J. McCarthy. The winning is not what does it for me. I don't care. I don't care that he...
Yes, he's going to have to do it in the NFL.
He's going to have to go do it in the NFL. I don't care about his win-loss record in college. Patrick Mahomes had one winning season at Texas Tech, and he was 7-6. So that's not where I'm putting my eggs. And I'm also not going to hold his team's success against them, though, at the same time. So just because I'm not putting the stock in the winning, I'm also not taking away some of the stock because they were a good team and he didn't appear in 7 fourth quarters.
But make sure everything you say about Michael Penix Jr. as well, because they both played in the biggest, baddest game of them all.
Yes, yes. But Michael Penix Jr. has 2 ACLs and 2 shoulders, and J.J. doesn't.
So
if that weren't true, I think Michael Penix may be a top four quarterback.
See, this is where it's like there's no pleasing anybody, right? You just don't like the guy.
That's not true. It's the opposite. It's the opposite.
See, this is, you know what you sound like? You sound like the general manager getting ready to cut somebody. I really like you. I really like you. It's a numbers game. That's not the case, because if you liked him and you thought that he was part of the game plan, you wouldn't cut him. You like who you like. You like J.J. McCarthy. You're listening to everybody out there, the mocksters.
Nope. It's the opposite, because I said to you 5 weeks ago, I like this guy, J.J. McCarthy.
You liked him, but people were starting to get on board with this J.J. McCarthy. All of a sudden, Michael Penix Jr. starts to sink down because of injuries, right? Injuries. The man
But
goes,
you're putting him in air quotes. Those are real injuries.
Okay, but guess what, Zach? And I've said this before. Everybody in the NFL has some kind of injury. Everybody in the NFL has some kind of surgeries. Believe me, all these players out there, they may not get going and getting surgeries now.
I agree. I agree with you. How could I disagree? It's 100% injury rate. How many first-round quarterbacks came out of college with multiple ACLs?
Well, I would have to think. I don't know if in the back of my head.
I can help you. It ain't a lot, if any. I mean, this is rare. But the fact that we're even having this conversation, that this guy could go in the first round, is a testament to how good he is. Michael Penix, do not put me in the camp who doesn't like Michael Penix Jr. I do like him. I liked him on game days.
You like
the medicals scare me.
So the medicals scare you, okay?
You're paying for a new car and you're getting a certified pre-owned. That makes me uncomfortable.
But if you're good, you're good. He went through every single body's MRI machine, and everybody said he's good, and yet you still put it against him? You still say, oh, he's not good.
He's not good.
You just got done saying his injuries scare you.
It scares me.
But he just showed everybody. The man went out there, showed everybody in pro day that he runs a 4.4, that he jumps a 36 or a 37, a 10.2 broad jump, had 2 ACLs. Okay, he had 2 ACLs.
It's really impressive.
Checked everybody's box about him being hurt. And yet you're still putting against this man saying he's injury prone. That's everybody out there.
It's not everyone out there,
it's
Phil.
It's everybody out there.
So everyone out.
So what happens if J.J. McCarthy goes out there and blows his knock on wood, because I don't want this to happen. He goes out there and blows his knee two days into practice. What are we going to be saying? He's injury prone?
Phil, if he did it a second time, we might be saying that.
It's football. It's football. Your body's not built for this game. That's why we have so many injuries. It's a risk everybody is taking.
I'll tell you what, and you don't believe me, that's fine. But I am thawing out to Michael Penix at number 12, because guess what? There's a built-in risk with no matter what the Denver Broncos do.
Yeah.
You want to move up to number 4? Massive risk. The guy that you might be moving up for might not even be there. Then you got to fall in love with the second guy. There's risk in that. There's risk in not doing that if you believe one of those guys is a franchise quarterback. There's risk if you think Brock Bowers is going to be God's gift. What if he's not? What if he's injury prone? Like, there's a risk with all this stuff. And because picking Penix at 12 doesn't come with the investment risk of moving up to the top four. Now, he's got the injury risk. He does. He's got the injury risk. But that might cross-cancel. The injury risk might cross-cancel of moving up to the top of the draft. Because if you get that question wrong, you're not picking in the first round for 2 to 3 more years. Yeah. Or you're giving up PS2.
His injury risk is going to go down if he's with the Denver Broncos, because when he gets the ball out fast, and we've said it, they have a top 10 offensive line. Why are we doing that? For Jarrett Stidham? All right? If you're worried about injuries, this is why we paid so much money up front. That's their job. Make sure that this man stays healthy.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with the offensive line statement there, because whoever is playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos, the Broncos' only upper echelon unit might be the most important for that next quarterback, and that's the offensive line. And so maybe the temperature just got turned up a degree more and I'm thawing out more. Maybe Michael...
The ship has sailed on you, Zach.
The ship ain't sailed.
You and J.D. McCarthy are on this island waving your hands, and I'm like, turn the ship. We're leaving them.
Oh, no. I like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
You have to squint sometimes to see what some of these scouts are seeing. And, again, don't care about the winning. This is what I care about. And C.J. Stroud, I think, is a good recent example. C.J. Stroud's a better pro than he was at Ohio State.
Mm.
He's just better. He's better in the NFL than he was at Ohio State. So it's like, what was he asked to do comparatively to what he's asked to do now? What's being highlighted in the NFL more now than was at Ohio State? And when I think of J.J., you can't look at raw numbers. You can't look at just passing attempts. You can't look at just yards. You can't look at just touchdowns. Because it's imperfect, because he played for Michigan and he did have all those things that you mentioned before. Blake Corum was great. The defense was great.
Yeah. So you gotta dig a deeper hole to find out about this young man. Huh?
Yeah. You gotta not dig a deeper hole wouldn't be the.
You're reaching
some
now.
Layers.
Now you're trying to find a reason why we won.
No, I'm trying to peel back the layers and get to the core of why I like him. And here's the snapshot summary.
Right.
Here's the snapshot summary. Okay. We've talked about all this stuff, but I'll put it all into one quick summary here.
Yeah.
And I'll try to go through as fast as I can. Most passing attempts in the first half of any quarterback in this class when you remove screen passes. People talk about how he doesn't pass enough. Take away screen passes and look at first halves. Second halves aren't as kind because they blew 20 teams out. Actually threw the most passes when you remove screen passes. He plays on time. He plays in a pro-style system. That gives him a head start. He played for an NFL coach. That gives him a head start. Despite him playing on time, when the play breaks down, he's got the highest completion percentage when the play breaks down of any quarterback in the class. Look at third downs when he is asked to throw the ball. Don't tell me when he's not, what he doesn't do. How does he perform when he is asked to make plays on third down? Well, it turns out he's got the highest completion rate and the best quarterback rating, not just of any quarterback in this class, of any quarterback in the last 3 drafts together.
And yet people still have him going number 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because he doesn't have some of the raw talent that, say, like a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. I think they have more natural talent. But when you talk about a fit for Sean Payton's system, when it's rhythm and tempo and timing and playing on time, but not just surviving, but thriving when you're able to play off schedule, for all of those reasons, I think J.J. McCarthy has got a real shot to be a franchise quarterback. So I'm not just pulling it out of my butt.
You're right. A lot of people think so. All of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy is the hottest thing going, all right, out of the blue, which in some people's case, it's going to be a great, great thing. If it's for us and he ends up being great, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to say, you're right.
Are you?
I'm going to be happy.
Or you could be one of those memes with the smiley face, but you're really angry behind it.
I just sent you a picture. Of J.J. McCarthy
Don't
and Zach Wilson,
Don't
how they look.
Up.
Got me kind of scared.
They do look alike.
Got me kind of scared.
They do look alike.
And I'm just going to be upset if we get J.J. McCarthy, it doesn't pan out, and someone like Michael Pitts Jr. ends up being like a Patrick Mahomes. Then what happens for us? Oh, we just took a fly on him. We just took a flying wheel for J.J. McCarthy because of everybody saying how good he is and because Jim Harbaugh went on.
I don't care about what Jim Harbaugh said.
That's what happened. And he did it again.
And Phil, what are you going to be saying if they draft Michael Penix with their first round pick and the guy had two ACLs and two shoulder injuries, ended four seasons, and he only got sacked 32 times, and freaking Mad Max Crosby comes and ruins his knee for a third time.
And I'm
going to
be like, McGlinchey, you're out of here. McGlinchey, you're out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if J.J. McCarthy has it happen to him, I'm going to say, J.J., you should have got the ball out faster.
See, look at you.
Brother.
The thing is with Michael Penix Jr., what you won't be able to say about J.J. McCarthy, if something happens to him physically and he's unable to play, you'll never be able to say there wasn't red flags. You'll never be able to say that because there is red flags physically. I like him. Trust Phil. Phil.
I'm just saying, man, if he goes out there and blows his knee out and then blows it out again, because you know what? It happens. Look at Tim Patrick. It happened to him twice, right?
But guess what? But guess what? Why did Tim Patrick not get drafted?
Okay, but you can say that for a majority of them.
Why did Tim Patrick at 6'5" and his competitiveness and his ball skills?
I think that there was a lot to Tim Patrick not being drafted. I truly do. And injuries probably did hold him.
Yes.
You know, but there's a lot of these receivers and quarterbacks that are getting drafted that are getting hurt, that are not panning out. And yet we're sitting here trying to say, oh, it's okay. It's okay that they didn't pan out. It's not okay. The scouts need to do their job. And I think Sean likes somebody else, and it's not J.J. McCarthy.
And do you think it's Michael Penix?
I would like to say it's Michael Penix.
Phil,
I would like to say it's Michael Penix.
I swear to God, if Sean Payton wants to move forward with Michael Penix Jr. at number 12, I am co-signing it.
See, this is the thing. He's going to make a move, and it's going to be a crazy move. It's not going to be moving up. He's going to find a way to stay where he's at, find a way to get back in the first round, pick up two players. I still think that Brock Bowers situation could be in play.
At 12?
At 12.
And then move back into the first round
and get Michael Penix Jr. I could see something like that happening.
And guess what? If that happens, you know what I'll say? Let's ride.
You're going to feel the chill of this trophy.
I want to feel the chill of that trophy.
Oh, my God. We need to ban that. audio. How many more, Russ? How many more do you want, Russ?
Well, the next 5 years, I want to win two.
Holy smokes. All right, well, we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, though, if they grab Brock Bowers at 12, move back into the first round for Michael Penix Jr. Man, I can get on board. I can get on board. Sean's got to love him.
That's it. If Sean loves J.J. McCarthy, then we're still riding out.
Yeah. All right, fun conversation, spirited conversation. We have breaking news. And it's not great. That's coming up next. Have some breaking news on the Denver Nuggets front. And I'm just going to be honest. This is not something I expected to see. I'm reading it from Katie Wingy's Twitter account, who works for the team and does a good job. She says, quote, Jamal Murray will not play tonight for the Denver Nuggets. Mm. Michael Malone said he's getting better, but Murray isn't ready to go out and compete at the level the Nuggets need him quite yet. It's a combination of ankle, shins, and knee all bothering him, end quote.
Yeah, this is not good. This is not good for the Denver Nuggets. And he's hurting a little bit more than we think, Zach. He's hurting a little bit more than we think. Now, how bad? I don't know. I do know this, playing these sports and having, you know, knee injuries and a lot of things floating in your knee. Don't be surprised if someone like Jamal Murray has a little cleanup after the season.
Oh yeah,
because you're pounding on that court probably worse than on the field. Zach, is just going up and down that court. It seems like that hurts more, man.
Yeah, and you're like we were talking about Michael Penix Jr. Yeah. Broad jump and vertical, and mm-hmm. you know, does it relate to what he's going to do on game day? Like Jamal Murray, I mean, how many times a game is he jumping as high as he possibly can and landing? From that distance and just the stop, start, jab, step, planting, going. I mean, Jamal has not played now in over a week. So if it was just a little soreness, I don't know. Like you just said, it just may be a little bit more serious than we think. Or if this was a playoff game, could he actually play? And the Denver Nuggets and Jamal are making a choice to just completely, and they got the promo run, and we talked about it 2 days ago. There's a choice to be made. Are you fully focused on the number one seed, or are you fully focused on the health of the team? And if the answer is that second one, it's the health. To which lengths are you willing to go, and how far are you willing to slip in the standings? This might be an answer to that question if he's actually healthy enough to play, and they're just like, you want to know what? It's just not the priority.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can see Jamal Murray saying, hey, I'll play. You know, I'll go out there and play. And if it was a playoff game, I think Jamal would be out there. There is ways to be able to go out there and produce at a high level. They have medicine. They can take out all the water with the swelling. They got ways to do that. But at this time, it's not worth it. It's not worth getting somebody injured like Jamal Murray, one of your stars, for a game that does matter. But I'd rather have you for the playoffs than just for tonight.
Yeah, the last time Jamal Murray played was March 21st. It is March 29th. It was a game against the New York Knicks where he played 34 minutes, struggled from the field, 9 of 20. And I think that was that game where he like rolled his ankle in the last like 60 seconds, didn't look too serious. And it was like in the post game, I remember Michael Malone being like, kind of like, you know, no, like no
brushing
big deal.
Off.
Yeah, yeah, it's not anything serious. Well, we haven't seen him since, and we used the word compensate yesterday. What's he compensating for? He's dealt with a lot, man. And they list ankle, shins, and knee, and he's actually missed the most time this year because of a hamstring.
Yeah.
So from the waist down, Jamal just hasn't been. It's
been rough.
Yeah.
It's one of those years where it's just a rough year for him. He'll bounce back. As long as he's healthy enough to be in the playoffs, you know, it's going to be just fine. But right now, your antennas are going up. I see them right now.
Definitely.
What does this mean for the Denver Nuggets right now, Zach, tonight, game?
They have, just right on its face, they have a significantly less chance of winning the game. I mean, Jamal Murray is your second best player. He's your second best scorer. He's the heartbeat of your team. He's the best creator off the bounce. We saw what it looked like 2 nights ago against a real opponent, who we kind of mutually agree is like a legitimate.
Got to respect him.
Yes, in Phoenix, and what it looks like without him. This is the best defensive team in basketball. This is the best defense the Denver Nuggets will play, and in the Minnesota Timberwolves, and who didn't play last year in the postseason and didn't play 10 days ago when the Nuggets won by 3 is Naz Reid from Minnesota. And I know a lot, this is not going to lead SportsCenter, and it's not like some big national, but the reason Minnesota has not had a drop-off after the Karl-Anthony Towns injury is because this 6'9" power forward has stepped into a starting role, and he's averaging 18 points a game, shooting 40% from 3 and 50% from the field, and he's a dog defender. So they have like 4 or 5 guys that play defense at some of the highest level that you see at their position in the NBA. So they have their work cut out for them tonight. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm sound like you 2 days ago. It was ahead of the Phoenix game where I was like, Phil, Jamal's going to play.
Yeah.
Jamal's going to play. Just believe me. He didn't play. Now he's not playing again. I feel like you 2 days ago. I don't have a great feeling about this. I just don't.
And you know what? I don't either. Even with Jamal playing, I didn't have the greatest feeling because Jamal still has to kind of get acclimated back into it. We don't know how serious the things are. We just think that somebody's just going to come back and give you 30 points.
Yeah.
That's not always the case,
right,
especially when you're dealing with a lower body injury. In this case, Jokic is going to have a heavy lifting to do. He's going to be on lift duty. He's going to have to not pass up shots. He's going to have to be more aggressive. Okay, Aaron Gordon's going to have to come up and play that bully ball when he can. And Zach, somebody off the bench is going to have to show up. Somebody off this bench is going to have more than 5 or 6 points. Somebody's going to have to come up with like Christian Brown did one game where it was 17 points. That's what it's going to have to be.
What is the text line saying? The RamosLaw.com text line, Kamaje.
All right, from the 720201, for some reason, I'm not too worried about Jamal being out tonight. Would rather have a 100% Jamal and be the 3 seed.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, if we're talking about Jamal not being 100% by the playoff time the playoffs start, the seed isn't worth it. Mm-mm. I mean, and they're not going to tumble like all the way to the fourth seed. If you look at their schedule coming up, it's really, really manageable, especially the couple games right after this one. Let me pull it up here so I don't stick my foot in my mouth. It's Cleveland at home on Sunday. It's San Antonio home on Tuesday. So you're going to continue this homestand through the middle of next week, but they have Atlanta on the schedule. They have Memphis on the schedule again. They have San Antonio again on the schedule all in the last nine games. So, look, if it's between a not 100% Jamal and anything else, give me the 100% Jamal.
For sure.
So
for
it just
sure.
It just may not result in a win tonight. And by the way, like, Nuggets are still got a lot of firepower. A lot of firepower. So let's give our predictions on what we are in store for tonight and the rest of the weekend coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, what are we watching for this weekend? We'll make a couple predictions here as well. There is a lot going on this weekend. Phil, let's go through this rapid fire.
Yeah.
And then let's tag in the fellas here. All right. Do the Colorado Rockies win a game tonight, tomorrow, or Sunday?
The Colorado Rockies will not win tonight. They will not win tomorrow. And they'll find a way to win Sunday.
Oh.
They're not going to get swept.
Okay. If you're just joining us and didn't hear the news, no Jamal Murray tonight for the Denver Nuggets in a matchup with Minnesota that could be what ultimately decides the number one seed in the Western Conference playoffs and home court advantage leading up to the finals. No Jamal. Does Denver get it done tonight?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I do not think the Denver Nuggets get it done tonight. I think the Denver Nuggets fall. Now, I don't know if it's going to be bad. Something in my gut's telling me that it can get ugly.
Really?
Yeah. And we'll see, though. I hope I'm wrong.
I don't think it's going to get ugly, but I could see Denver losing.
Okay.
Against a Minnesota team that's got the number one defense in the NBA.
What's ugly for Denver? Like, what would be considered an ugly loss for Denver? Like,
I mean, they're at,
where with it.
I mean, they're at home. Yeah. I'd say an ugly loss would be 12 or 13 points or more.
Okay.
You know. So sometimes things just like they went into overtime with Phoenix.
Yeah.
They ended up losing by 10. Sometimes games just break a certain way, but you start losing by 12, 13 at home in a game that's big and everyone acknowledges big, I would file that under a bad loss.
Okay.
Do the CU women win tomorrow?
Ah.
Do they end Caitlin Clark's career?
Dang. Okay. Yeah, they do.
They do.
The Colorado Buffaloes, the women's basketball team, is going to end Caitlin Clark's year.
Career. This yeah. would be her final game in college.
Yeah. It's going down.
And I agree.
Ooh.
I think CU is going to upset them. I already bet them like two, three days ago. I told you I bet them plus 7.5, and yeah. I bet them on the money line. And it's 25 to win 80, by the way. Or it was a couple days ago.
Didn't talk about the Rockies. I'm writing this down, man.
I cannot wait until tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 on ABC. Yes, the Rockies win a game.
Okay.
Yeah, they win tonight, actually. Right. I think they'll get back to 500 tonight. Baseball's weird, man.
Yeah.
Just like everyone's down on the Rockies. They lose 16-1. They'll win like 4-3 tonight. We'll see. Probably get drilled again. What am I talking about? Do the Avs beat a red-hot Nashville Predators team tomorrow afternoon?
It's home, right?
Yeah, it's home. It's actually like it's an early start. It's like 4 o'clock start.
Okay.
Wait, Drew, have the Predators lost? Are they still like 16-0-2 or whatever?
They actually just lost last night.
Oh, they did.
They lost last night, so they're like 16-1-2 in their last 19 games now.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I asked.
Who's between the pipes, Drew?
Georgiev? We know that.
We won't know until tomorrow, but my guess would be Georgiev.
I think that the Colorado Avalanche lose this game as well. It's gonna be a bad week for Colorado, man.
So Nuggets lose tonight, yeah. Avs lose tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Rockies.
And the Rockies is. Phil hates Colorado. Breaking news. It's unbelievable. Someone tweet that.
Hey, they call me the Colorado kid. I just got to go with my heart. No,
exactly. That's why I'm asking you. Because if we were just licking cleats, we'd just pick the Colorado teams every time. That's why I'm asking you. Does DU Hockey punch their ticket to the Frozen Four tomorrow against Cornell?
Yes. DU's winning.
I think so, too. Go Piles. All right. Let's get the, okay. You got one game to watch this weekend. One game. If you could pick one game to watch this weekend, you couldn't watch anything else. Would it be one of the Rockies games? Would it be a March Madness game? Would it be DU Hockey? Would it be CU Women in the Sweet 16? Would it be the Avs against Nashville? Is it Nuggets, Timberwolves for the number one seed? Where would your eyes go?
CU. CU's women. I want to see the Colorado Buffaloes defeat the Iowa Hawkeyes, and Caitlin Clark's career is done.
Wow. Tell you what, here's a twist. CU women end Caitlin Clark's career is at the end of J.R. Payne's career in Boulder as a bigger school comes and hires her away.
I didn't even think about it. Let's talk about that.
We can talk about them first. Yeah, if they win. All right. Drew, behind the glass, Mr. Spivak, what are you looking for this weekend?
Well, I could say they'll be dialed into some UFL football because apparently that starts this weekend, which
it does.
I didn't know. Yeah. You know,
the
XFL and USFL combined, and they're now UFL League, but no, I'm not watching that. I couldn't care less about that. Yeah, no, we're not going there. No, guys, Maya's going to be on the DU hockey game tomorrow. Chance to go to the Frozen Four. Three wins away right now from their 10th national title in hockey, which would be the leader in all of college hockey. So I got my eyes on DU Cornell tomorrow afternoon.
That is wild to be able to say, because I believe they're tied with the Michigan Wolverines,
correct,
right? Nine national titles. If they get to 10, that would be crazy. I like that one. And I know you're a hockey guy. I like that one, though. Kamaje Granderson, behind the glass. What are you looking for this weekend as we shine a light on the Drive's top five of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
Buffs, Hawkeyes, 130. We're talking legacy right now. The Buffs have only been to the Elite Eight three times in their history, 93, 95, 2002, and they can add the fourth time tomorrow if they can stamp their ticket against Iowa. I think they have everything it takes. They have a lot of veteran leadership, and they have all the requisite pieces that if the game gets ugly late, there's no doubt in my mind Colorado will be able to pull it out. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
How real quick, how nervous are you about the referee dynamic?
Very much so, because they understand that LSU and Iowa is exactly what they want to see in the Elite Eight. That's what all of this really has been built up towards. The fact that Iowa's going against a team that they could actually lose to, and the fact that LSU is going up against UCLA, which they could actually lose.
Yes, yes.
I mean, referees will be absolutely, like, we will be zoned in on the refs more so now than I think we have been all season.
All right, good stuff, KJ. Richie Carney, behind the glass as well. What are you looking for this weekend as we shine a light on the Drive's top five of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
Well, I'm not going to be so dismissive of the UFL like Drew, because once upon a time, I was a Seattle Sea Dragons man myself. Shout out.
All right, all right.
I'm going to be watching CU Women like I assume all of us will, but before that, I'm going to be watching tonight Gonzaga and Purdue. And not to steal a Zach Bye shtick here, but I got a stat that I'm going to be paying attention to with this game that may lean my affiliations.
What do you got?
In that arena. So, did you know that five of the Sweet 16 teams played three or more fellow Sweet 16 teams in non-conference play this year?
Can just repeat that.
Okay. Five of the Sweet 16 teams played three or more of their fellow Sweet 16 grouping
dang.
In non-conference play this year. Purdue played five games. Alabama played four. Tennessee played four. Arizona played three. Gonzaga played three. Only one of those five teams won every single game against their fellow Sweet 16 participants.
Wow, Zags.
And that team is Purdue.
Wow.
So everything to me seems to be pointing in that direction, but I want to fade Purdue really hard.
I already did.
Because they have always been that team that looks like they should win it all every year and never do.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated. I feel even more strongly about it because of this stat that I just saw.
Yeah, Arizona's kind of like that. But Gonzaga's kind of like that, too. It's like it's so often, but they've been a better seed and then they lose. This year, they're a 5 seed. I got them plus 5.5. I took them this morning. I can't wait to watch the second half of that game. Well, I'll stick to the Denver Nuggets then. What an opportunity tonight. No Jamal Murray. That's unfortunate. Phil, who's the best player in the world?
Jokic.
He's still playing.
He is.
Where are they playing the game tonight?
Ball Arena.
Okay. All right. I don't have a great feeling, but I think somehow, some way, because Nikola Jokic has a Nuggets jersey on tonight, that they figure it out.
They figure it out.
I don't feel great. A little bit of faith involved. Give me Denver to win at home somehow, some way. I'll go 107-104 in a lower scoring game at Ball Arena. Everyone, thanks for making us a small part of your Friday. Appreciate you rocking with us this week. Phil, happy Easter. Have a great weekend
happy
with
Easter,
the family.
Man. You too.
Shout out everyone behind the glass here. Stay safe this weekend. Happy Easter, everyone. And we step aside with Denver Sports Tonight and Cecil Lammy coming up next.